You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government has proposed to reverse changes made to increase Māori representation in local government by reverting the Māori ward rules to restore the referendum mechanism. This would mean if any council wanted to establish a Māori ward and a petition that had been signed by 5% of people was presented, a binding referendum would have to be held. Additionally, the bill requires that all the councils that created Māori wards since 2021 have to hold a poll about whether to keep them at the 2025 local elections, with the results of the poll to be binding and come into force in 2028. Action Station has released a report, Protect Māori Wards, which has gathered the stories of over 200 community members on their experiences of Māori wards. I speak to Action Station Director Cassie Hartendorp, Ngāti Raukaua, Ngāti Tuwharetoa, about what the report found, why Māori wards are important, and the government's proposed changes for Māori wards more generally. Could you please firstly explain the history behind Māori wards? Why were they introduced in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So the reason that Māori wards were introduced is because it was to recognise this historical injustice and inequity that Māori were very few in representation in local councils. And after a number of years, I think it was 19 years or so of looking into this and really building a case for it, what took place in 2018 is a number of community groups started pushing to be able to get Māori wards set up in their local area. Now, some of the backlog to this as well is that previously the law meant that you had to have a local referendum on whether or not you have a Māori ward. There's no requirement for any other type of ward. For example, rural wards do not have to have a referendum, but Māori wards do. And what they were finding is that despite a large number of local councils trying to bring in a Māori ward, the referendum was a barrier. It was getting in the way of people and councils and communities being able to bring in these Māori ward roles. So in 2018, a number of community groups popped up around the country and started pushing to be able to remove that legislation. They said that this is discriminatory, it's a barrier, it's getting in the way of Māori having a say at a local level. And they were actually successful in being able to get the Labor government at that time to change the legislation, which removed the need for a local council to have a referendum.
To kind of add on to what you're saying there, why do you think Māori wards are so important in local councils?
Well, they're really important because often there's actually not much Māori representation at a local level. So our local councils look after a lot of what we do on everyday level. It might be our access to water, to libraries, to the parks that we care about. But at the moment, there's very little Māori representation. Māori wards change that. So what we found is that after the law was changed, before that, only three local councils could get a Māori ward over the line. But since the law was changed in 2021, there's now 49 councils that have endorsed having Māori wards in the area, which is a 1,500% increase. It's huge. So what it's really doing is it's being able to say, okay, actually, we need better Māori representation in all these different places. Just like we've got Māori seats in Parliament, we have it at local council as well. And I'll just share an example. In New Plymouth, their Māori ward councillor was the second Māori ever in 100 years to sit on their council. And it wasn't because Māori weren't standing, they were. The problem was that the structures weren't working to enable Māori to get involved in local decision making because they would take it to a referendum. The majority of the people in the community were mostly non-Māori and they voted it down, and then you didn't get any more Māori in local decision making. So things like that have really made a big difference in Māori having a say.
And to come back to this report, it's bringing together stories of people's experiences of Māori wards, and it's really highlighted the opposition from the public to this bill. What was some of the feedback on wards that you received, and what were the overall feelings from people about Māori wards?
The overall feeling was overwhelmingly positive. You know, most of the wards, if they've been set up, have actually only been in place for a short amount of time, maybe around 18 months, a bit above that. So it's been a short amount of time, and yet still, there are so many members of communities and councils and mana whenua, even hapu, who say that these Māori wards have really made a difference. And one of the reasons that, I noticed from listening to people was that Māori wards don't actually have to be mana whenua. They don't have to be local or iwi or hapu. They just need to represent Māori. But what they've done is they've created this bridge where councils may have had relationships with local iwi and hapu in the past, but they, you know, actually having someone designated to build those relationships and strengthen them meant that everybody has become closer together. So you've got this situation where you have these people in these roles around the country and they're really, really working. Another example is in terms of the emergency response. So some people talked about how in emergency weather events, it was iwi and hapu and marae who opened their doors and made sure that everyone had a safe place to go to when there was a cyclone or a flood. But and Māori wards played a big role in this. They were able to respond quickly, be able to move at the pace of their trust and relationships with Māori, and they really made a difference in difficult times. But at the moment, the government is looking to reverse all of this and ultimately try to get rid of these roles.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about the Waitangi Tribunal's response to this. So in Y3365, an urgent inquiry report on Māori wards and constituencies, the tribunal found that the government's plans to require local councils to hold a referendum on whether to have Māori wards breaches Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Could you talk this through a little bit more? What principles of the treaty is this breaching?
Yes, so the Waitangi Tribunal went through an urgent inquiry to the coalition government's proposal, and what they found is that whole communities have benefited because of the strength and relationships between Māori and councils. They found that the failure to consult Māori about removing Māori wards is a clear breach of Te Tiriti, particularly the principle around partnership, and that there was no discussion or analysis of the coalition government's treaty obligations at all. So the last thing is that they found that, and this reflects what we heard in the report as well, that the referendums at local level themselves are harmful and divisive. So they cause harm to Māori because they're mostly targeted at Māori and silencing us. And then what they also do is they attack the councils as well. We have small groups of essentially racists organising against councils. And it doesn't even matter whether or not you're Māori or not. If you're on a council, we found that people would be subjected to online abuse, in-person abuse, and even death threats.
And so we have to question why the government is changing these. How has this move been justified? How has the government proposed to continue to make a dedicated space for Māori voices in local councils, if at all?
There is no proposal about how to ensure Māori have a say. So if you read through the Justice Committee report, there is no rationale. It just says that they are recommending that the law be put forward. And essentially, what they're